take control of the airwaves toll-free, 800-259-9231. Bring up whatever you want. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free, so enjoy that. freetalklive.com. And don't forget to go and vote in the current poll at poll.freetalklive.com. The question is still, what's your age? So poll.freetalklive.com. Okay, yes, age and gender.
Gender.
Oh, well then, speaking of age, we've got a story about a young man who, a high school senior, he decided that, and I guess during some sort of high school event of some sort, we'll get the details here in a moment, but he wanted to unfurl a banner in front of his high school that proclaimed, "Bong hits for Jesus."
Okay.
Now, as you might imagine, the school administrators didn't really care for this particular message.
I suspect they didn't.
And it's now going to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
According to the Associated Press, the Supreme Court has stepped into a dispute over free speech Friday involving a suspended high school student and his banner that proclaimed "Bong hits for Jesus."
Is he still a high school student?
The justices agreed to hear the appeal by the Juneau, Alaska School Board and Principal Deborah Morse of a lower court ruling that allowed the student's civil rights lawsuit to proceed. The school board hired former Whitewater prosecutor Kenneth Starr to argue its case to the high court. You remember Kenneth Starr from the whole President Clinton thing? Morris suspended Frederick after he displayed the banner. I guess they actually haven't mentioned the kid's name yet, but yeah, I guess his last name is Frederick. After he displayed the banner with his with its reference to marijuana use, when the Olympic torch passed through the Juneau in 2002 on its way to the Winter Games in Salt Lake City.
They're getting to it quick. 2002.
Frederick, then a senior, was off school property.
Okay.
When he hoisted the banner, but was suspended for violating the school's policy of promoting illegal substances at a school-sanctioned event.
Well, it seems a little presumptuous. I realize that the term bong certainly has, marijuana-type references to it.
Sure, it does.
But there's no guarantee that you smoke marijuana out of a bong. You could put tobacco in there if you want
really,
to smoke
though,
out
Mark,
of a water pipe.
See, but when you're talking about a water pipe, then you're talking about something you could smoke tobacco out of. But I've never heard the term bong used outside of marijuana circles. So,
but you could.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it doesn't matter. To the administrators, they see bong, they think pot, and so does everyone else. Let's be honest, okay?
Oh, I believe
everybody else thinks pot when they see bong.
They do, and that's what it sounds like, but it's still a bit of a jump in logic.
Well, regardless of what you're saying, the real fact is he wasn't on school property.
Yeah, that's another.
He could have had a sign that said "Smoke marijuana for Jesus," and if he's not on school property, how can they say that what he was doing was a problem?
Yeah,
I mean, if I have a house across from a school, and in fact, one of the Free Staters here in Keene, he owns a house across from a local school, and he's talking about getting putting a marquee out in front of his house, where he could put all kinds of pro-freedom messages on there. Now, he's not a bong-hit kind of guy, but he could very well put some sort of message like that on there, and then what's going to happen then? Then he's not a student. Is there going to be a lawsuit filed? Because the school administrator doesn't want his students to see these anti-government messages when they go to school during the day? I mean, how far outside of their school boundaries can these people control their students? That's what the question is here. Well, the Supreme Court's taking a look at it. Frederick, again, was a senior at the time, accused of violating the school's policy of promoting illegal substances at a school-sanctioned event, even though he was across the street. The school board upheld the suspension, and a federal judge initially dismissed Frederick's lawsuit. The Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals said the banner was vague and nonsensical, and Frederick's civil rights had been violated. At that point, the school board retained Starr, who investigated President Clinton's relationship with Monica Lewinsky. He took the case free of charge. The appeals court said that even if the banner could be construed as a positive message about marijuana use, the school could not punish or censor a student's speech because it promotes a social message contrary to one the school favors. So, the appeals court making the right decision, in my opinion.
Sounds like
but,
it.
But the Juneau School Board appeals.
They don't like that crap.
They don't like it.
It doesn't cost them anything to appeal it.
That's true. Frederick said his motivation for unfurling the banner, at least 14 feet long, probably needed a friend, I would think, for that, was simple. He wanted it seen on television, since the torch relay event was being covered by local stations. When Moore saw it, she crossed the street from the school, the principal, grabbed the banner and crumpled it. So not only do you have a school attempting to control ideas, but they're also violating property rights. This was not the school's banner to crumple.
Yeah, I'd have to say that, but then suing for the cost of the banner probably isn't worth the lawsuit. So, I mean, she should be ashamed, but that's it.
She later suspended Frederick for 10 days. Moore still works for the Juneau school system, but is no longer the high school principal. Frederick is a student now at the University of Idaho. The court is expected to hear arguments in the case late February. In addition to the First Amendment issue, the court will also consider whether Morse can be held personally liable for monetary damages. And I think that'll be actually be a pretty important decision, because they'll probably find that you can't, because she's got diplomatic immunity or bureaucratic immunity or whatever it is they call it. What do they call it? It's not, I'm missing the word.
What? Oh,
it's not executive
sovereign immunity.
Sovereign immunity, that's right. The appeals panel said she could be held liable because she admitted to being aware of the pertinent case law regarding student rights. The court said the law was clear and Morse was aware of it when she punished Frederick. So the question is, can kids stand across from their school and hold signs that the school doesn't like?
I don't know what to say about it. I mean, it seems obvious to me.
What would this woman have done if he was not a high school senior? What if he was 25? Would she still have walked over there and in a tizzy and taken his poster away from him?
She would have probably called the police instead.
But then what are they going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I mean, is it illegal to... I guess they probably have, like, anti-protesting laws on the books. Probably have laws that would cover that sort of thing. You know, this is not a approved protest, son. You're going to have to move along.
I mean, it seems to me that she's way out of line on this. I mean, she doesn't have a leg to stand on. But the good people of Alaska, which
Juneau,
Alaska, they've got to pay in order to find out from the Supreme Court, if in fact they're actually get to seeing it, whether or not, this woman acted right. It's been 3 years now, and how many courts have said that she was wrong? Well,
enough
who cares?
To say, yeah.
Who cares? We've got plenty of money. We've got plenty of taxpayer money. We're going to find out.
1-800-259-9231. In other teen-related marijuana news from Pittsburgh, according to eurekaalert.org, marijuana is not a gateway drug that predicts or eventually leads to substance abuse, suggests a 12-year-long University of Pittsburgh study. Moreover, the study's findings call into question the long-held belief that has shaped prevention efforts and governmental policy for six decades and caused many a parent to panic upon discovering a bag of pot in their child's bedroom. Now, back in 1999, the Institute of Medicine, the government's own organization, did a study at the behest of the government that determined, without a doubt, that marijuana was not a gateway drug. So we've sort of already known this. But this is new. There's a new spin on it here, essentially saying that not only is it not a gateway drug, but teen marijuana use doesn't even predict future drug and alcohol abuse for teens. The Pitt researchers tracked 214 boys beginning at ages 10 to 12, all of whom eventually used either legal or illegal drugs. When the boys reached age 22, they were categorized into three groups: those who used only alcohol or tobacco, the legal ones; those who started with alcohol and tobacco, then used marijuana; and those who used marijuana prior to alcohol or tobacco. Now, nearly a quarter of the study population who used both legal and illegal drugs at some point, that is 28 boys, exhibited the reverse pattern of using marijuana prior to alcohol or tobacco, and those individuals were no more likely to develop a substance use disorder than those who followed the traditional succession of alcohol and tobacco before illegal drugs, according to the study. So, do you see what I'm saying here?
Doesn't look like there's anything much conclusive about marijuana use being a gateway drug.
Exactly. It's just been propaganda foisted on you over the years without any real
anything
to back it up.
I think everybody pretty much believes that it's just propaganda.
Somebody must believe it.
Oh, my mother does.
800-259-9231. More details on the way. Your show. You take control. Bring up whatever you want. Toll free. 1-800-259-9231. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
Thank you. DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through a private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. We all know beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But in whose eye would this scene be ideal? Being left outside, wet, in minus 45 degrees centigrade. When I come back, I'll tell you.
I'm Bobby Likas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air and fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com.
BG.
Brr! I'd hate to be a subject in the coal climate test facility in Manitoba, Canada, Ford's proving ground for the winter worthiness of its fleet of vehicles. Typical cold climate testing includes leaving vehicles outside overnight, sometimes wet, starting them in the morning, and measuring engine performance, heater function, and interior controls. Yes, cars, trucks, and their drivers are subjected to the most severe abuse Mother Nature can dole out. Volunteers, anyone? Not me. My favorite pile of white stuff is a big sand dune. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at BGFindTheShop.com. That's BGFindTheShop.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free. 800-259-9231, the Packet 8 toll-free lines. That's 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Enjoy all the features there because they are completely free. And that does include the bulletin board system. Over 140,000 posts away to over 1,300 people interacting. Lots of different topics to be discovered there. Serious issues, fun stuff, you'll find it all. And just a great group of people there to interact with at bbs.freetalklive.com. Though I do want to send our best wishes out to one of our listeners, Mark. I don't know if you've been made aware of this, but Shane Killian, also known as Shane K., on the bulletin board system, mm-hmm. is in critical condition right now after a car accident that He's one of our North Carolina listeners, a very active libertarian, one of the probably brightest minds on the Free Talk Live BBS. Just he's posted over 1,800 posts over the past few years, and always just a great intellectual conversation with him. Really, really bright, sharp dude. And I hope he pulls through this. His wife died in the crash.
Ah.
This is the woman who was, we talked about her recently. She was from Guam. You may recall us discussing the absurd political situation there in Guam. Well, Shane was the one who wrote in about that. And not sure about the status of their kids. I don't know if any of them were in the car at the time. But there's an update on the Promoting Liberty Forum in the bulletin board system there. One of our listeners has posted details about how you can maybe get in touch with them, maybe send a friendly email to the hospital or something like that. But never good to hear news like that.
No, life's short. Tell your family you love them.
But I wouldn't have known if it weren't for the BBS and for one of our other listeners who was in the area who caught wind of it and posted it there. So there you go. BBS.freetalklive.com. Talking about marijuana, the fact that according to a 12-year-long study by the University of Pittsburgh, once again, verifying the Institute of Medicine's claims from 1999 that marijuana not only is not a gateway drug, but also it doesn't even predict future substance abuse. So somebody might make the claim that, well, if you're smoking marijuana as a teenager, that means you're going to be a drug addict when you get older. Not so much. In fact, according to the study, nearly a quarter of the study population, again, they looked at 214 boys beginning at age 10 to 12, and then they checked them again when they reached the age of 22 and asked them about their drug use history. And there, again, was three categories of users: alcohol and tobacco only users, those who started with alcohol and tobacco and then used marijuana, which they call the gateway sequence, in that one leads to the other, leads to the other, etc.
Right.
And then there's the reverse gateway, or the reverse sequence of using marijuana prior to using alcohol and tobacco. As it turns out, according to the study, those who exhibited the reverse pattern, that is, using alcohol and tobacco first before marijuana, no more likely to develop a substance use disorder than those who followed the traditional succession of alcohol and tobacco before illegal drugs, according to the study, which appears in this month's issue of the American Journal of Psychiatry. The gateway progression might be the most common pattern, that is, alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, but it's certainly not the only order of drug use, said the professor in charge of the study. He says, in fact, the reverse pattern is just as accurate for predicting who might be at risk for developing a drug dependence disorder. In addition to determining whether the gateway hypothesis was a better predictor of substance abuse than the competing theories, the investigators sought to identify characteristics that distinguished users in the gateway sequence from those who took the reversed path. Out of the 35 variables they examined, only three emerged to be differentiating factors. Reverse pattern users, remember, reverse patterns are the ones that smoked marijuana first, were more likely to have lived in poor physical neighborhood environments, had more exposure to drugs in their neighborhoods, and had less parental involvement as young children.
Okay.
So all of those factors coming into play made it more likely. So if you grew up in a crappy neighborhood,
you'd try pot before you tried alcohol and tobacco.
Right. And that's it. It just happens to be that you tried pot first, and some other people happen to try alcohol first, and none of it has an effect on what happens long term.
It's surprising to me that somebody would try marijuana before cigarettes. I mean,
you think it
just seems like,
with all the bad press around cigarettes, I don't know if that's such a surprise.
I don't know.
I could see how that would happen. For instance, you could be maybe this didn't happen to me, but because I was the oldest in my family, but I could see that maybe, you know, at 13 years old, you got a brother who's 17, he's smoking pot already, and your brother comes to you and says, "Hey, Mark, you want to smoke a joint?"
The smoke is bad for you. Oh, no, that's just cigarettes. This is good stuff.
You know, I could easily see how that could happen.
I suppose. I don't know. I grew up, I could have gotten a cigarette or or some alcohol within minutes of deciding that that's what I wanted to do. My friends and I, you know, I mean, we lived in houses where parents smoked and drank liquor, and it would have been there. So if I wanted to try it, now I'm not talking about getting it on a regular basis, I would have quickly shot myself in the foot if I wanted to do this on a regular basis, but I could have tried some vermouth or cream de menthe or whatever it was that my grandmother might have had around, whipped myself up a grasshopper. If I could have done that any time I wanted to, I just probably couldn't do it on a regular basis, so I could have tried all those things. Marijuana didn't really show up in my world very much. I went to a private school, and I didn't see it till high school when I went to a public school.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't come across it until I was about 16.
Yeah.
Most importantly, but then again, I didn't have older brothers or sisters. Most importantly, a general inclination, neither did you?
No.
No. A general inclination for deviance from sanctioned behaviors, which can become evident early in childhood, was strongly associated with all illicit drug use, whether it came in the gateway sequence or the reverse. While the gateway theory posits that each type of drug is associated with certain risk factors that cause the use of subsequent drugs, such as cigarettes or alcohol, leading to marijuana, this study's findings indicate that the environmental aspects have a stronger influence on which type of substance is used. That is, if it's easier for a teen to get his hands on marijuana than it is beer, then he'll be more likely to smoke pot. It's just a matter of what's there. The evidence supports what's known as the common liability model, an emerging theory that states that the likelihood that someone will transition to the use of illegal drugs is determined not by the preceding use of a particular drug, but instead by the individual user's tendencies and environmental circumstances, which backs up essentially what we've said before, and that is that if there's any sort of a gateway factor to marijuana itself, it's that it's in close proximity to other illegal drugs. So if somebody has taken MDMA, LSD, or something else, or meth, or whatever, and they've smoked marijuana before that, well, it's probably just because they've been hanging around drug dealers and people who use drugs. I mean, when you go to the drug dealer, he's probably got more than just pot he's willing to sell you. And in some cases, if he's a pusher, he might give you an incentive to try something a little different. Hey, you like that marijuana stuff? Try this meth.
It could very well happen.
Your first hit's free. The emphasis on the drugs themselves rather than other more important factors that shape a person's behavior have been detrimental to drug policy and prevention programs, according to the doctor. To become more effective in our efforts to fight drug abuse, we should devote more attention to interventions that address these issues, particularly to parenting skills that shape the child's behavior as well as peer and neighborhood environments. You know, I think it would be more effective if we just legalized drugs. I mean, really, how many kids in neighborhoods have access to DXM, dextromethorphan hydrobromide.
Yeah.
How many DXM pills are being scattered about neighborhoods? How many older brothers and sisters are plying their younger siblings with
DXM? I would doubt very many at all. Perhaps the word gets around slowly, how one, you know, gets a hold of this stuff, that kind of thing. But
if anything, DXM is going to appear simply because it's seen as a legal alternative to illegal drugs. Of course, if all drugs were legal, then would anybody be doing DXM? I don't know. But nonetheless, the fact is, if we would make drugs legal, they'd take that forbidden fruit aspect away from them. Less teenagers would use them, according to the studies that have been done, at least in California and Holland. And if less teens are using them, that means less young teens will use them, and that might be a good thing. We're on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit soleywellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
It's America's number one selling brain support supplement, Focus Factor, and you can try it free. Focus Factor supports your memory, focus, and concentration with nutrients that support healthy brain function. And we've got a free bottle just for you, a $75 value. You simply provide $4.95 for shipping and handling, limit one per household. Call 1-800-407-6231. 1-800-407-6231. Come on, it's free Focus Factor. 1-800-407-6231.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line. For all your voiceover IP needs, head over to packet8.net. 1-800-259-9231. You bring up anything, Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The Shrine of Female Listeners is there. Shrine.freetalklive.com gets you straight to it. And you'll see all of the ladies, the dozens and dozens of them that have sent us their validated photo to prove that they listened to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com to see what it's all about. And hopefully, if you are a lady listener, to join the Shrine. All right. So, also, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project's First 1000 Pledge. Now, are you just going to talk about freedom? Or are you going to start living it now? Learn how the First 1000 Pledge can make it happen today at freestateproject.org. That is freestateproject.org. So we were talking about this marijuana study that has essentially shown that marijuana use, teenage marijuana use, doesn't predict drug or alcohol abuse. Now, the researchers did admit that they didn't study females in this particular study, so unless there's a huge difference between males and females as far as their drug use tendencies are concerned, then it shouldn't be a big difference.
But it doesn't seem like it, but, you know, what the hell do I know?
Yeah, you never know. Also, according to the study, interventions focusing on behavior modification may be more effective prevention tactics than current anti-drug initiatives. For example, providing guidance to parents, particularly those in high-risk neighborhoods, on how to boost their caregiving skills and foster bonding with their children could have a measurable effect on a child's likelihood to smoke marijuana. Also, early identification of children who exhibit antisocial tendencies could allow for interventions before drug use even begins. Now, I like the idea of maybe parents giving better care to their kids, bonding better with their children. I think that having a closer bond with your kids is definitely something that could help keep them away from drugs. Or, at the very least, if they decide they want to do drugs, you could bond with them and do some drugs together, perhaps. There are some parents that do that sort of thing.
It does get done.
Yeah, well, the idea is, whether or not they do it together, some parents essentially say, look, Johnny, if you're going to do drugs, I want you to do them here in my house where you're going to be safe. And you know what? I don't think that's such a bad idea.
I understand what their thought process is. It's really foreign to me.
Well, here's a parent that really needs to learn a little bit more about bonding and use the police a little bit less. We talked yesterday about a pretty stunning story that we had never actually read anything quite like before on Free Talk Live. A woman who called the police on her son for sleeping in too late. He had to go to school in the morning. You know, mom, you know how kids are.
Yeah, they certainly can be tough.
So apparently he was too tough, and mommy called the police. They sent an officer out, and she got the kid up off and sent off on the way to school. I'd never heard of such a story. But yet, one day later, from Monica Chen at the Herald Online, a mother convinced Rock Hill police, this is in South Carolina, to arrest her 12-year-old son, 12 years old, after, what did he do, Mark? Did he burn some ants with a magnifying glass? Did he hurt the neighborhood dog?
I don't
know. Did he injure next-door neighbor girl?
12-year-old,
What could he possibly have done in the vein of absurdities that would have caused her to call the police?
Broken a window with a baseball.
Unwrapped a Christmas present early.
You're kidding me.
The boy's great-grandmother had specifically told him not to open his Nintendo Game Boy Advance, which she had, I wonder if she told him that this is the Game Boy Advance, now you can't open it, which she had wrapped and placed beneath the Christmas tree, according to a police report. But on Sunday morning, that's right, the police actually filled out a report on this, but on Sunday morning she found the box of the popular handheld game console unwrapped and opened. When the mother's 27-year-old, on the boy's 27-year-old mother heard about the open gift, she called police. Quote, he took it without permission. He wanted it. He just took it, said the 63-year-old great-grandmother.
So now it's the grandmother that's calling the police?
Mom called the police, 27-year-old okay. Mom, but grandma was, I guess, on hand.
I see.
Both the great-grandmother and the mother asked the boy on Sunday where the present was. The boy replied that he didn't know. When the mother threatened to call the police, whew, man, sweetie, you need to get a few more parenting tactics in here. The boy then went into his room and got the Game Boy, the report stated. She called the police anyway. Two Rock Hill police officers, two of them, responded to the home. My man, they're really busy there in Rock Hill, and charged the boy with petty larceny. He was charged as a juvenile and released the same day, said Lieutenant Jerry Waldrop, who added the boy was never held at the jail. Quote, we wouldn't hold a 12-year-old, he said. I bet you would if he murdered somebody. The Herald is not identifying the boy or his mother and great-grandmother because of his age. On Monday night, the mother said she had her son arrested because she didn't know what else to do. And here's why. She had the child when she was 15, the woman said, and has been a single mother struggling to earn a business degree. She's now 27, and she hasn't apparently learned a darn thing about parenting in the last 12 years. She said the boy likes attention and has a history of bad behavior. He has shoplifted from stores and stolen money from her, she said. Why are you giving him a Nintendo if he's stealing things from you? The boy has also been inching towards expulsion from school, she added, and even punched a police officer last month. He was arrested for disorderly conduct in that incident. She hoped the arrest... Aren't you supposed to reward kids with for good behavior with Christmas presents? See, this woman just doesn't get this whole parenting thing.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody just believes that they're supposed to buy their kids presents, whether they're good or not.
When little Johnny punches the police officer and steals stuff from you and hurts other people, you give him a lump of coal. She hoped the arrest would be...
Give him a lump on his head.
Yeah, she hoped the arrest would be a wake-up call for him. She dreads getting a phone call someday saying that reporting he's been killed. The boy, quote, showed no remorse when the police came, the mother said. Well, what's he supposed to do? I mean, he opened a Christmas present early. It's certainly not the violation that attacking another person is. Quote, I'm trying to get him some kind of help, she said. He's the type of kid who doesn't believe anything until it happens. Waldrop said the women were seeking help with a problem child. He's a disruptive, disorderly kid, according to the cop. Said he trusted the two responding officers to exercise discretion when deciding whether to arrest the youngster. Quote, in a case like this, if the parents and grandparents are adamant about it and they feel the child has a serious problem, I can't second guess what the officers did. The mother told police officers she would have the boy placed in the State Department of Juvenile Justice in Columbia after his court appearance. Waldrop said he was not aware if Rock Hill police have ever arrested a child for unwrapping a Christmas present early.
Well, let's look at this from the private perspective. Suppose she's decided, I can't handle this boy, and I need to figure out some way to take care of him. Now, I remember there was a program for misbehaving middle-class white kids that was going on in my town. It was called the Palms or something like that.
Okay.
And they would take kids away for either drug problems or behavior problems or whatever. And
isn't that Charter?
I think it turned into Charter later.
Okay.
I think the Charter bought Palms.
Right.
Anyway, and, you know, the parents would pay, or the parents' insurance would pay X amount of dollars per day in order to keep these kids in there for whatever period of time, and they'd get to come out in furloughs and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what essentially she wants is that program without having to pay for it. Mm-hmm. She wants the public to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel like paying for her misbehaving kid to go to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's only going to be more messed up by sending him to the juvenile detention center. But I don't want to pay for it. Because he unwrapped a Christmas present? Because he doesn't behave you? I don't feel like I should.
Because you're a lousy mom. Because that's what she is. She's a lousy mom. She had a kid at 15, wanted to do the right thing, which, of course, is not the right thing. It's never the right thing, at least in today's society, to have a kid at 15 years old. I know you're somebody who thinks you should just have a kid whenever you want, Mark, but I think you'd agree with me that 15's a little too early in American society to have children.
Unless you're Amish or something.
Yeah. Well, that's a different kind of...
Yeah, that's not exactly American society.
Right. So, in this case, what an amazing story. I mean, how is it that the police can field these phone calls without just laughing and saying, sweetie, try calling somebody who cares. Bye-bye. I mean, really. What? Aren't the police supposed to protect... Well, I guess they are protecting property in this case. It wasn't his property to open. It was a gift. And technically, it's the gift giver's gift until the day the gift is actually delivered to the recipient, right? So maybe it was a property rights violation. Maybe this was okay, after all. 800-259-9231.
It was a property violation, but it's a minimal one that should have been handled by the family.
Absolutely absurd. And the idea that the grandma and the mom couldn't handle this together... It's just unbelievable to me.
Yep. Or the adults can't handle 12-year-old.
You take control of the airwaves. Toll free. 800-259-9231. Coming up, another reporter might face contempt charges.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Send your loved one a timeless treasure this Christmas. Get the book, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell. Set in a simpler time in rural America, when a father and son could harvest their Christmas tree without the fear of being accosted by a UN Eco-Goon squad, when a mother could prepare her family's holiday meal without worries of chemical-laden, genetically modified foods, a time when a man could travel the roads freely without paying tolls to foreign monarchies. The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure, is a wonderful tale in which the adventure and the danger are real. And the joy of Christmas comes from the hearts of a small, humble family, rather than a big-box department store. Written by Steve Culver, fellow patriot and GCN listener. Get your copy, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure. Available at Amazon.com or AuthorHouse.com, or by calling 1-888-280-7715. That's 1-888-280-7715. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Improve your home's comfort and beauty. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance and may also help reduce your energy costs. Call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. Offer ends 12/30/06. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. Improving your home has never been easier. Call Sears at 1-800-393-8378.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Hello friends, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real hard to find all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything. 800-259-9231. That's toll-free. And it is the Packet 8 toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We do ask that if you like the fact that we give you everything for free at freetalklive.com, that you vote for the show to show your appreciation. Head over to vote.freetalklive.com. It'll take you less than a minute's time. All you need is your email address. And it makes a big difference for us, because when you vote at vote.freetalklive.com, it helps us stay in the top 10 podcasts of the world. And being in the top 10 means that more new people are going to find Free Talk Live, and thereby more new people are going to find the message of freedom and liberty. So if that's important to you, vote.freetalklive.com. Well, freedom and liberty once again under attack in a courtroom. San Francisco, the SFGate reporting a dispute between the Justice Department and the Chronicle over the use of grand jury testimony in stories about athletes' steroid use will come down to a showdown in a San Francisco federal courtroom. Federal prosecutors will ask a judge to order reporters Mark Finaru-Wada and Lance Williams to reveal who leaked star players' admissions that they had taken illegal performance-enhancing drugs. The reporters in the newspaper have been served with subpoenas for grand jury transcripts and any documents that would reveal the source or sources. If the judge refuses to dismiss the subpoenas and orders the reporters to testify, and if they ultimately refuse, as they should be free to do, this is a very similar case to some other cases that have happened in recent years where reporters have been punished, even sentenced to jail time for refusing to reveal their anonymous sources. They could be held in contempt and jailed until they agree to talk or until the grand jury term expires. Newspaper could be fined for withholding documents that are covered by the subpoena, though its lawyers deny that the paper has any such material. Such an outcome, if it occurs, is probably at least several weeks away after further proceedings before the district judge Jeffrey White and review of his decisions by higher courts. But if there was any doubt about the risks journalists face in confrontations with the government, it was dispelled in another San Francisco federal courtroom earlier this week. On Tuesday, freelance reporter Josh Wolf was found in contempt and sent to prison by U.S. District Judge William Alsup for refusing to turn over to a grand jury the videos that he took of an anarchist protest in the Mission District last year. Prosecutors say the grand jury's investigating the alleged attempted arson of a police car. Wolf could remain in prison until next July. Now, actually, remember, we had talked about that story a little while back when it was sort of developing. The idea is that he was at this protest with a video camera. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't get footage of the individuals attempting to burn a police car, but should he be forced to turn over the footage that he captured to the court?
I don't know. It's such a
property rights, freedom of... This is a property rights and a freedom of speech issue, because in the United States, it seems to me that if you have the freedom of speech, the flip side of that is you also should have the freedom to not speak. And the Fifth Amendment bears that out as far as incrimination against yourself and all of
against
that.
Against yourself, but it doesn't say anything about incrimination of somebody else. And courts
but
have
you
always
shouldn't
had,
be forced to speak against anybody else either.
Courts have always had a certain amount of power when it comes to getting evidence out of people. And if they had no power, then what good would they really be?
Well, they've got plenty of power, but if the police can't get their own evidence on their own, then that's their fault. That's too bad for them. I think that if there was a murder going on, then maybe this guy might have turned over his tape.
You're just presupposing.
Yeah.
What if he didn't want to?
Well, then I'd support his freedom to destroy his evidence.
I get that you probably would.
It's his property. The government doesn't own the tape and that video camera.
I understand.
And just because a court passes some sort of declaration shouldn't mean that all of a sudden his property becomes theirs.
Courts have always had a certain amount of power in this arena, and, you know, I don't, in these specific instances, I think athletes should be able to do drugs, do and performance-enhancing drugs if they want to, and I think that in all likelihood, cop cars wouldn't get burned as often if there wasn't such enmity towards between the public and police, if the drug war wasn't going on. I don't think that you would see this kind of thing going on. There wouldn't be so much clashing.
I agree with you.
But, you know, if this guy's got video of some guy killing my mom, I really want him to be forced to give that video over.
I know
to the...
you do, but it's his video.
Mm.
And what if he says, sorry, I dubbed the tape the other week?
Well, it's gone then. I mean, it's different than saying, no, I won't give it to you.
Well, how do you know that he's not saying, I don't have this video? And they're just saying, well, we don't believe you. We think you do. Now we're going to put you in jail. I mean, really, you could get rid of the original tape, make a dupe, put it in a safe somewhere, and claim that the original is gone, and then what? I mean, this is all seems really kind of questionable, their methods here. Because if this person, it's just outrageous to me that, that the courts can get somebody, can order somebody to just give up their free speech rights and give up their property at a drop of a dime. Anyway, his case differs from the case of the Chronicle reporters in one major respect, as he's not protecting any confidential sources. But Wolf's central argument, which also brushed aside, is the same position taken by the Chronicle reporters, that journalists have at least some degree of constitutional protection from government intrusion that would disrupt news gathering. California, like most states, has a shield law that protects journalists from being held in contempt for refusing to disclose confidential sources or unpublished material. But proposals for a federal shield law have gotten nowhere in Congress, and the state law doesn't apply in federal court. In the current legal climate, quote, it's not a great time to be a reporter, said the Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson, former federal prosecutor. Quote, prosecutors have become much more aggressive in seeking information from the press. That's not to say that legally they're not entitled to it. I think under law as it currently stands, the press has very little protection. She cited the case of Judith Miller, again, another case we've covered here, the former New York Times reporter jailed for 85 days last year for refusing to say who told her a Bush administration's critic wife was a CIA agent.
Yeah, that was a big story.
Yeah, a federal appeals court, considering that case, ruled there was no constitutional protection for a journalist to withhold material from a grand jury, a finding cited both by Alsup in Wolf's case and by the prosecutors trying to get the Chronicle's reporters to testify. So they've already used the Miller case as precedent to lock this other dude up. And now they're trying to use it again in the current case of the Chronicle reporters to try to lock them up or to force them to testify. This is a little chilling, isn't it, Mark? I understand your concerns about your mom's murder being caught on tape and everything like that, but shouldn't the freedom of speech be paramount here? Or the freedom to not speak?
I don't know. In all these instances where you're pointing out, I don't like those particular cases because it seems to me the government's overstepping its bounds in general. So specifically, it's using the first, you know, this attack on the First Amendment or the Fifth Amendment, depending.
The police wouldn't say they're overstepping their bounds. They would say we're trying to investigate a crime here.
Which crime are you referring to?
Arson on a police car.
Well, you know, I understand in that case that is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that in the wider view, probably people wouldn't be rioting and setting police cars on fire if they considered police officers to be peace officers instead of
but that doesn't matter
drug warriors.
Doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that they're really chilling out free speech. And if reporters start to get scared yeah. about their ability to report without being punished,
then what are they going to report?
What's that going to mean? What's that going to mean? I mean, I understand that...
What's going to happen to free speech in general? In America,
exactly.
Right?
That's why I'm saying you need to put free speech paramount here instead of your emotional feelings about what might happen if your mom got murdered and somebody videotaped it. Because the free speech is the critical issue. Because if we lose freedom of speech, then what else do we have left? I mean, gosh, we're losing our freedoms left and right here in this country. And this is a major freedom that needs to be protected. And unpopular speech, as you've cited many times, Mark, is the reason for the First Amendment. And if, obviously it's unpopular for this guy to withhold the evidence that he may have about the police car being burned. That may be an unpopular position, but he should be free to do it. It's his tape. It's his report. Anyway, going
it looks
on.
That way.
The Chronicle reporter's attorney says it's going to be a very difficult battle. E. Burton, general counsel for the Chronicle, says we have a strong case, though. The case stems from a federal investigation of Balco, the Bay Area Cooperative in Burlingame. Balco founder and three other defendants have pleaded guilty to distributing performance-enhancing drugs and served their sentences. In June 2004, after the defendants were indicted, the defendants in this case wrote an article quoting grand jury testimony by track star Tim Montgomery, who said he'd used the drugs supplied by those people. 6 months later, the reporters quoted Giants outfielder Barry Bonds and Jason Giambi of the New York Yankees as having told the grand jury that they used drugs provided by Balco. Bonds says he thought that he had been using legal substances. Giambi admitted knowingly taking steroids. The information had not been publicly revealed by prosecutors who allowed the drug distributors to plead guilty without naming the athletes they'd supplied. The articles prompted a congressional investigation and a new steroids testing policy for Major League Baseball. Grand jury proceedings are secret, and it's a crime for a government employee to disclose transcripts, so they wanted to know who gave them up. And he didn't want to tell. And he shouldn't be forced to. And it's an outrage that we're forced to pay to lock him up until he decides to speak, which is, of course, what's going to happen. More's on the way. You take control. Hour 3 coming up, 800-259-9231. MySpace is trying to protect kids from pervs. We'll find out how. Come up, Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.